Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bucks lust. I love my Milwaukee Bucks. Got Bucks lust. Got Bucks lust. I love my Milwaukee Bucks. Got Bucks lust. We vibe supreme virtuosity, a supernatural, unflappable command of stealth, power, strength. This whole wide world believes in us. Shout, I love my Milwaukee Bucks. Got Bucks lust. I love my Milwaukee Bucks. Got Bucks lust. Got Bucks lust. I love my Milwaukee Bucks. Got Bucks lust. We vibe supreme virtuosity, a supernatural, unflappable command of stealth, power, strength. This whole wide world believes in us. Shout, I love my Milwaukee Bucks.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. The Bucks lust is lusting out of every possible part of my body. Maybe that's too descriptive. I don't care. Bart Winkler, Toby Altizer. Woo-hoo-hoo! What a weekend it was. What a Saturday night it was. What a Game 7 it was. What a series it was. As the Bucks go into Brooklyn and get the Game 7 win. And I want to start with this. Million different ways to go, and we'll go every way. Want to talk to you guys, 414-799-1250. You can tweet us, Facebook, 1250 AM, The Fan. I want to lean into what I think separates me, and I'm going to say us, from some of the other talking heads around here, not to exclude young Toby. Toby, I don't know if I made this clear. Toby's from the DC area.
I am.
Have I made that clear? But I think that what is different about hopefully what this show can do is I'm a guy. I'm here. I've been here. I'm from here. Every single my only fault with some of you might be, oh, I'm not old enough to have seen the 82 World Series loss, and I didn't exist when the Bucks won the title in 71. I'm very familiar with the 70s and 80s Packers, but I didn't have to like go through that for 20 years. Other than that, I mean, since the day I was born on a beautiful spring day in 1984, I've gotten it all. I've gotten the few highs and the many, many lows. And so on Saturday night, when the Bucks win that game, a feeling comes over me. And I'm wondering if it's maybe too soon to feel this way, but I think a lot of us felt that way on Saturday night. One thing I'll tell you is that my experience watching the game was different than ever before because I couldn't keep my clothes on. I took my shirt off and my pants off. I watched the entire second half of Bucks Nets game 7 in my boxers. I've never done that for a Packer or Brewer game before. I can't answer why I did it. It just, I had to.
Yeah, I felt bad for your neighborhood after seeing what you were doing on Twitter.
I went outside.
Yeah.
And it was not that late at night.
No.
And I live near, like, places where people would be. And so I'm glad that I didn't get seen.
There definitely was a nervous energy. It didn't cause me to take my clothes off, but I can understand how it could do that to you.
I just couldn't stay clothed. I've never felt that way in a Super Bowl, in an NLCS, in any Bucks game. But that game on Saturday night, I watched the entire second half of my boxers. You know, my wife has been like into the games, into not the games. She wants to know what. It's not like she doesn't care at all, but. You know, Saturday, we had a long day. As I mentioned 9,000 times, I was at a grad party. I was able to get home just before tip. And, you know, it was a taxing long day. So she was in bed and whatever. She came down at, like, the midway of the third quarter, and she's like, "What is happening?" You know, it's almost like you expect to see. If you come down and you see your husband prancing around the living room in his boxers on a Saturday night, don't you almost expect to see, like, someone else is in the house?
Yeah, or he's not watching Bucks basketball.
No. I was watching the game, and I couldn't do it with clothes on. It was such a nervous energy game. That's a good way to put it. There were times in that game where it felt like they were gonna lose, but there were also times that it felt like there was no way they were gonna lose. When they were up 109-105, is when I really started to let myself believe. And then KD made a couple shots. KD made that shot to send the game to overtime. And right away, I was dejected, but I immediately saw that the score, and I think a lot of you guys did, it counted as a 2 and not a 3. And so instead of feeling like, oh my God, here we've done it again, it was a tie game. It was 109-109. And I'm like, oh. I mean, the score's not going to immediately go to 109 unless it's not very clear that it was a 2. And thank goodness it was a 2. And Kevin Durant afterwards, we'll hear from him. We'll hear from all these guys. He said, my big-ass foot had to be on the line. Otherwise, I would have ended their season. And he's right. I mean, what are the Bucks going to do with a second left, even if they advance the ball? We weren't winning that game.
Well, yeah, and we already saw what they can do with an inbound play at the end of the game. Good night. Those were awful.
Yeah, I think Giannis shot it into the crowd on the opportunity that he had. So
and Brooke Lopez forgot that a shot clock exists.
Oh, yeah, which he admitted after the game. He said, "I just thought the shot clock was off. I never even checked." And Bud took blame for that. Fine, but, you know, that's got to be on Lopez. And I guess Bud. And probably John Horst. And maybe Peter Fagan. And maybe me. I don't know. It's like, what are you doing, man? So the Bucks go to overtime, and then the Nets score right away, and you're like, okay, well, they scored very early in overtime, and then you think, well, at least just don't make it a two-possession game, because that's where it gets away from you in overtime. Once the first team makes it a two-possession game, it's a little harder to come back with the intensity and just the do-or-die situation of the moment. But the Nets couldn't make a shot, but then neither could the Bucks. There was like 3 minutes without a score. And the Nets, they made that shot, and that was all they made in overtime. And then the Bucks finally get a bucket, and then they're up, and it looks like the game's over with Middleton. And then there's like 0.3 seconds left. So somehow I'm thinking, okay, well, we're going to lose this somehow. I had no confidence with the Bucks 1 second left in regulation, but I had all the confidence in the Nets with 0.3 seconds if they somehow would have got the ball back with Brooke Lopez missing. This was after, of course, Kevin Durant had another opportunity to send the game to overtime again, but it was just short. And if that was the Bucks' strategy, fatigue this guy for 7 games so that the last shot is short, well then, tip your cap to Mike Budenholzer. Dad, you are smarter than I ever thought you were. But they get the victory. It's pure euphoria. I mean, I'm calling people, I'm texting people. that's normally reserved for, like, I don't know, we won the Super Bowl. But, and there's still 8 games to go. That's the thing. On Saturday night, the magnitude of that game, it's hard to remind myself the next morning and even today that we've got a series with the Hawks now. And then if we get through this series with the Hawks, and the Bucks are a better basketball team, but there's, like, bad storyline juju at play here with the Bogdanovich stuff, and this is Bud's former team, Tony Snell revenge series, although he doesn't play. But I know there's some apprehension there, but they've still got this series to win and then an NBA Finals, which I think a lot of people are kind of turning their attention to the Suns as a team they think could be the favorite here. You know, the Bucks, Clippers have been doing this. They'll make that a series, of course. And we still don't know about Kawhi, but the Clippers have seemed like they were done 7 different times here in 2 weeks. But you got to remind yourself that there are still 8 more games to go. I'm trying to, like, rationalize or at least figure out, Toby, why that game on Saturday. Because we've been to the Eastern Conference Finals before. We were there 2 years ago. Just trying to figure out why that game felt much bigger than just a Eastern Conference semifinals game 7.
Well, it was the best team that you're going to have to face on this playoff run, more than likely, is the Brooklyn Nets. And even though they were hobbled, I think if Brooklyn gets out of that series, even with Harden still a question mark with his hamstring, even with Kyrie possibly being out, I think you'd have to look at the Nets as the favorites out of the Eastern Conference, and I'd take their chances up against the Clippers or the Suns. So essentially, the Bucks have gotten past their toughest opponent. But yeah, I mean, you still got to face the Hawks, which they showed the Sixers that they're no one to sleep on. They're definitely going to be a tough test for the Bucks. And then whoever you face out of the Western Conference, even if it is the Clippers without Kawhi, is going to give you a tough test. I think the reason that it feels like it was such an accomplishment for the Bucks is you get past Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin Durant had an all-time series, and he didn't win. He hits that shot in Game 7, and you think, oh, goodness, he's gonna take this to overtime and find a way to win this series. He has that historic game in Game 5, but they didn't win the series. The Bucks found a way to overcome that, and players have had historic series against them in the past, and they haven't been able to win. Look at Kawhi with the Raptors. He was awesome in that series, and the Raptors came out on top. This series, Kevin Durant was awesome, but the Bucks found a way to win it.
To correct you, you said it was the Bucks' toughest opponent they'll have to face. That is wrong. The toughest opponent will always be themselves for the Bucks. So I can, you're right. You'd be right for any other franchise. But when it comes to the Bucks, no, the toughest opponent is absolutely the Bucks. And this was a huge game for Giannis, I think, and we'll get into this too. This is the kind of game that we were hoping at the beginning of the playoffs to see out of Giannis. Can Giannis carry a team? Can he be the difference maker? Can he be the one when the other guys are down? And Middleton, and especially Drew started 2-of-17. That was not good. But Giannis comes around, has a 40-point game. Yes, he struggles at the free throw line. Yeah, he takes too many threes. Although, you know, with some of these guys, Middleton was 2-for-7 from three. Giannis was 2-for-6. So maybe, I don't know. Giannis, I feel more comfortable about Giannis shooting threes in this series than I did for poor guy Joe Harris, who did not show up for the Nets at all, which could be a huge reason why, again, the Bucks were able to advance outside of the injuries and Kyrie and Harden struggling. But Giannis had the kind of game that, you know, playing 50 minutes in this game, 40 points, the 13 boards, this was a game that I think critics of Giannis thought he could not have or has not had yet. He definitely had it on Saturday.
Yeah, and he started to figure it out a little bit from the line. He started to kind of step up and exactly what you were looking for. And the other guys, I mean, Holiday, Middleton, their stats don't look good in the box score. They definitely don't. But Middleton kind of figured it out in the second half. Holiday took all the way to the last, like, 5 minutes, and he had hit a few good shots. That's the thing. You need those guys down the stretch, and that's when they really came up big. And, yeah, absolutely. Giannis had an absolutely amazing series. 6 games of the 7, he puts up 30-plus points in Game 7. He puts a cap on it with probably his best game of the series.
Middleton and Holiday started combined through 3 quarters. They missed 26 of 32, and they missed 9 of their 10 three-pointers. So the two of them started through 3 quarters, 6 of 32 and 1 of 10 from 3. But they were in this game the entire time because of Giannis. And some other guys stepped up too, and you know, we'll talk about them. Connaughton, you can't credit him. He had 3 threes, each one bigger than the next. PJ Tucker on defense was amazing again. And when he got his threes, when he got some looks, he made the majority of them. Brooke Lopez, outside of that massive brain fart, had a very good game and a very up and down series, but was there when they needed him.
Yeah, he kind of redeemed himself with that block in overtime. But yeah, I mean, you can't have that. But yeah, he did have a great game. And that's part of why Milwaukee was able to win this series. The Nets role players just never stepped up to the point that they could beat the Bucks' overall depth. And I know it's frustrating sometimes as Bucks fans that, you know, they have the depth so they don't play their guys. So they played their guys this series. And you know what? The Nets couldn't hang with them because the Nets went down. The Nets started out the series as the better team. And then injuries happened, and the Bucks were the better team, and they took advantage of being the better team.
How this series goes, if Harden doesn't get hurt 45 seconds in, we probably know the answer to that, but that's not the reality we live in. We live in a reality where the Bucks have advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals for the second time in 3 years, and now they've got to take on the Atlanta Hawks, a team that I don't think anybody expected to go this far, but they are making a star out of Trae Young, who they go into Madison Square Garden, become the villain, beat the Knicks. Then they advance past the Sixers team, which totally has their this version of the Sixers team is over. And now the Hawks take on the Milwaukee Bucks with game one being in Milwaukee. Suddenly, the third seed in the East has home court advantage as the Hawks came in as the 5 seed. So they're going to be Road Warriors once more. Has not really been a hindrance for them. But the Bucks, we got a game here on Wednesday night. And then Friday, brace yourselves, Milwaukee. Reopening day for the Brewers. That was supposed to be a night game, but it's their first game at full capacity. So they moved it. They're having a whole day about it. It's a 3:10 first pitch. And then the Bucks play at 7:30. Summerfest, I think, was supposed to be going on this weekend. It's now in September, as we know. Otherwise, things could have been real messy. I was considering signing up to be an Uber driver for Friday because I just think the money will be flowing if you're driving Uber. But my kid's in daycare, and they have an early dismissal Friday for some reason. So unless I cart him around with me.
Yeah, I don't know that that's ideal as an Uber driver.
You want to get into an Uber and see a 2-year-old kid sitting there?
Probably not.
Saying, out, 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 the whole time. Now, I'd probably get a bad tip, bad rating. But I just want to do it for one day. I don't know.
You could definitely make a lot.
Ah, yeah, 10 hours?
Oh, yeah.
Even if you stop to watch the Bucks game somewhere, as soon as that's, you know, done, Fiserv Forum, that they're going to be, people are going to be needing rides on a Friday night. Skyler's on the north side, 414-799-1250. Talk to me, Sky.
Man, hey. I just want to give you credit, Winkler. You never gave up, man. You never gave up. When I called, I was sad. I was down. I was ready to.
You got the right guy. I was pretty close to giving up many times.
I was looking forward to football season. I was down. You never gave up, man. And I just want to say, I actually prayed for this game, and it's almost like, man, God answered my prayers. Everything went our way. Joe Harris missed the three. I'm like, oh my God. We get a good block shot. Oh, he's about to hit this three. He missed it. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then, you know, Middleton hit the shot, man. I'm like, yeah, God answered my prayers. But I just want to say this. Man, then we get Atlanta Hawks. So we got the home field advantage. So, I mean, I just want to say this. The Bucks know now they're the best team in the left in the playoffs. They were scared of Brooklyn, but they got past them. They were scared, and rightfully so. But, I mean, I'm not saying that they should be scared, but they was timid. They were scared, and they're not scared of none of these teams. They're not scared of Phoenix, and no discredit because Phoenix is a great team. They will give us problems, but we can beat Phoenix. But they're not scared. They're not scared no more. And I think we are nervous, but we should. I'm giving Atlanta 5 games. I think we would take them 4-1. I said Philadelphia maybe 6, maybe 7, because of Embiid factor. But man, I don't want to sound too cocky because I mean, yeah, Atlanta, they're a pesky team, but. Man, I just see the Bucks rolling over them, but I don't want to jump the gun. But the Bucks ain't scared of no team in the playoffs no more. So that's why I give them the advantage, man. We might be the champs, man. We might be the champs. Let's
Julia, just let's all breathe. We can't get too ahead of ourselves. A lot of us did that on Saturday night, which is fine. We enjoyed the night, but Skyler, thanks for the call. You do look at this series upcoming. The Hawks beat the Sixers last night. The Sixers in disarray. Joel Embiid is throwing Ben Simmons under the bus. Doc Rivers is kind of doing the same. Joel Embiid, he had 8 turnovers last night, and he's basically blaming Ben Simmons for the loss. We'll go in their locker room, too, at some point. Because the Bucks and Sixers have been kind of on this path together for the last few years, where you thought that a matchup in the playoffs was inevitable. It's never happened with Giannis and Embiid. And we thought that this year, of any year, could be the year. Well, we've kind of thought that the last 3 years. It's been Bucks, Sixers, and the Sixers unable to get to the Eastern Conference Finals here. And it is the Bucks and it is the Hawks. And now in this series, if you're Milwaukee, you look at it, whether it was the Sixers or the Hawks, I think you would look at it as you're the better team. If you look at the Hawks and the Sixers, I mean, yeah, Joel Embiid is a monster, but Tobias Harris is kind of inconsistent. Ben Simmons can't play. In this series, he couldn't play anymore. Seth Curry's going to have a couple nice games. I don't, you know, Corkman, whatever the hell that guy's name is. These guys, I don't think they were going to have the, like, I look at the Hawks and I think, well, Trae Young is a monster, and he will have a good series no matter what. Even last night, he was like 2 for 900, and he still made a huge impact. John Collins can make shots. He'll be a tough matchup. I think that these guys like Kevin Huerter are going to have – there's going to be a game where Huerter has 25 points, and we're all going to make fun of how he looks because he's like the most pale guy in the history of the world. He's got red hair, but he's going to beat us. And there's other guys on this team that are just going to step up, and we're going to be like, and Bogdanovich is a big one because we know how the trade got fumbled before the season. So there's going to be a lot of anxiety about that. The Hawks can do it. It's hard right now in my euphoria to not think like Bucks in 5 or something. You know,
oh, I agree.
It's really hard for me to not think that the Bucks are going to. And again, never trust the Bucks, guys. You can never trust this team. And if there is a Wisconsin sports curse, they're gonna, you would just brace for it. But it's really hard here, just with my basketball brain and looking at these two teams, to not think that this is the Bucks series and the NBA Finals is in our destiny. But again, you got to play it out. They had to play it out between the Clippers and the Jazz choke in the second round. I'll say. They had to play it out between the Bucks and the Nets, and that should have been the Nets in 5, but they all got hurt. So you got to play it out. But if you're a Bucks fan, see, you're optimistic right away, and then that makes you really nervous. Because I almost think that the Bucks would have been better from an underdog standpoint than a favorite standpoint. At least maybe I'm just thinking too much, not about the Bucks, but Bucks fans. Like, now we've got expectations again. Before it was, oh, hey, if they beat the Nets, that's great. If not, we're going to fire Coach Bud. Now we could be in a position where we lose to the Hawks and keep Coach Bud. Now we could have the worst of both worlds. Although they're worse, I will give Bud some credit at some point in this show. Not right now, but at some point in the show, I may give him credit.
Yeah, his out of bounds plays were random.
Yeah, he loves being random.
Yeah, I think this Hawks series is going to be interesting because the Hawks, I think, realize that they are going up against the best team left. So they're going to do everything to sell out to stop Giannis, to stop the Milwaukee Bucks. Whereas I don't know that you can say the same thing about the Nets. I think they went into the series thinking that they were the better team and that they were going to outscore the Bucks, and they were able to do that for a couple games, and then their guys started getting hurt. But I don't know that I ever saw them really change their defensive philosophy as drastically as other teams have in the past. And I think the Hawks realize that if they're going to win this series, they can't go out there and run their normal defense and let Giannis go for 30 points every game like the Nets decided they would, because they don't have a guy like Kevin Durant that basically is a matchup nightmare. Who are you going to put on him? Jrue Holiday can guard Trae Young. I don't know that he can slow him down to, you know, under 20 points, but he can guard Trae Young. He's not as much of a matchup nightmare as Kevin Durant. And outside of Trae Young, they got a lot of solid players, like you mentioned, Herter, Bogdanovich, John Collins. There are a lot of good players, but there's no stars like they had to face with Kyrie Irving and even a hobbled James Harden. So I think it'll be interesting to see what the Hawks come out with in the series. You might actually have to see Bud make some real adjustments because the Hawks might throw something at him that they didn't have to encounter in this Nets series. But it's going to be Milwaukee in five, in my opinion, because Milwaukee's just that much of a better team.
Toby, okay. All right, man. All right.
I was pretty optimistic about Game 7. I said double digits. It didn't go double digits, but they did pull it out in Game 7, so me and my guy, Spark Guy, we're going to take some credit for that Game 7 win.
Well, you should, because you were confident, at least, in the victory, which not too many people were, just because we don't have the ability to be confident. Even in the series coming up, I think we should think the Bucks can beat the Hawks, but you're gonna get a lot of Bucks fans predicting either we're super confident now and we're going to go 4 or 5, or we're going to say 7 because we just don't think we can have nice things. Some of us may even take the Hawks to win just because we believe in this curse so very much, which I do want to talk about because Saturday felt different. It just felt different. Saturday, even though it was only to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, something about that game felt a little bit different. I want to talk about that and revisit some of the great moments in that matchup. Go inside the locker room as well. Bart and Toby and you, 414-799-1250. The Bucks are moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. It starts Wednesday against the Atlanta Hawks at the Fiserv Forum Wednesday night. More coming up.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Adetokounmpo turns, flips it, and it carries it. So the game is tied. 45 seconds left in overtime. 10 on the shot clock. Middleton spinning and hits. Big bucket for Chris Middleton. And the Bucks take the lead. 113-111 as the Nets call for time. Guarded by Holiday. Durant for three. Comes up with an air ball with 0.3 seconds remaining. And the Milwaukee Bucks with the 113-111 lead.
He lets go of the ball, you know, and I think everyone was following the track of that ball because, you know, you always feel like it's going to go in with him. But again, you know, we did a great job defensively. Tuck did his work, Drew did his work. You know, I'll say his work. Chris was phenomenal on Katie and on everyone else. But it definitely was part of our game plan to just make him work as much as possible each possession. And, you know, we knew it would pile up on him. We knew that having to be the guy, having to work to get his shots off, that just would accumulate through seven games. And, you know, that fatigue would be there just enough.
Well, it paid off. I mean, all of that fatigue, just a little bit short from Kevin Durant. That would have been a two. Again, his foot was on the line again. And then one more overtime period. Who knows how that would have gone. P.J. Tucker had fouled out at that point, and everyone was just gassed. I mean, Giannis was gassed at one point in the second quarter. The Bucks had to call a timeout because Giannis was just fried. And he had to take some time on the bench to collect himself, but then came back, had a monster night, and the Bucks go on to win the series. And they will take on the Atlanta Hawks. Bucks-Hawks is your Eastern Conference Finals matchup. The Western Conference Finals will be two games in by that time. The Suns beating the Clippers in Game 1 yesterday. Game 2 is tomorrow night. We actually have a night off of NBA tonight. A night off of NBA, which is a bummer for our guy Ryan Horvath, because this is the debut day of his show, BetMGM Tonight, where they go through like the lines as they happen, and they're just going to have to be loaded with baseball tonight, I suppose. And I did. It's the premiere episode. Horvath's on the Odyssey app, where you can find him. BetMGM Tonight from 6 to 10 on the Fan.
An Odyssey station.
And on the Odyssey app. And at 7:15 tonight, your boy will be on the premiere episode of BetMGM Tonight.
Let's go. Maybe I'll have to listen in.
How about that? Horvath will check in with him later in the week. He's not here. He lives in D.C. Still very much a part of the show. We'll check in with him, let him get his sea legs under him with this new show, which, again, you can check out starting at 6 tonight on the Odyssey app. It's called BetMGM Tonight, and they'll go through games as they happen, and we'll talk some Bucks around 7:15 our time tonight. 414-799-1250, TNT with the calls there. That was Marv Albert. I believe that was his very last game that he's ever going to call in the NBA on TNT.
Yeah, I think so.
To go out, huh?
Yeah, that was a great game. Absolutely great, great career for Marv. Great game to call. He had a little bit of it's a little interesting on the call. He missed a few things, but I think he did a good job on his last call.
Well, Marv, this has been the end of Marv's career. Yeah. I think at one point Drew Holiday was Chris Middleton.
He was. Yep.
So yeah, Marv. Sometimes people hang up it too late, and sometimes too early. Marv's hanging it up at the right time.
Yep.
You're leaving at the right time. 414-799-1250. How many years do you got till retirement, Mike the Painter?
I'm gonna work for us my life, Bart.
Oh, I know. I feel you.
Marv should have hung it up a long time ago. They should have probably forced Marv to hang it up a long time ago. If you get my drift.
I was trying to be nice, but you had to go there.
Yeah, I won't go there. I won't bring it up anymore.
How we feeling, buddy?
Let's go with the Bucks, though. I think it was my dancing in my driveway when I called the other day before Game 7.
I think it was the fact that I watched the second half without a shirt. I think that's what helped them win.
That could have been. There's all kinds of things that were in our favor that we were just... We're the better team.
Like, it was such a weird game, Mike. In the fourth quarter, I had no idea how it was going to go. And at one point, I was texting with my goodest of buddies, Paul Imig, and I said, "This is wild, and I love this moment. I love this experience, but I also hate everything about this. It was just weird, man. It's just a game like that with that intensity. It was just wild.
I know, and for us not to have two of our stars not hitting shots, and then they finally started getting some clutch shots at the end, and Middleton and Holiday, and just at the right time. And, you know, like you said, Giannis was spent, and luckily it went into overtime because, man, Durant was just off the hook again. That guy is just phenomenal, and you got to give their hats off to him, you know, because he tried willing them to a championship, but it wasn't their year. It's the Bucks' year, and the Bucks in four against Atlanta.
Bucks in four?
Yeah, they're no match against us. We'll take them. We're too big. We're too big. We're too good of a team, and we were protecting the three-pointers a lot better this year, and, well, at least in the playoffs. So I think, yeah, Bucks in four.
I'm not ready to.
I am. I have the Bucks lost.
Well, I have the Bucks lost too. We all have the Bucks lost. I don't think I want to make a prediction yet because I am kind of confident like you. So it makes me a little worried.
Yeah, I'm confident that they're gonna go in four. Air sweep them.
Ooh.
Right under the rug.
Mike, you got this?
Yes.
You got this lust, buddy?
I got the lust.
Sing along.
No, I don't.
Ooh. You're dancing in your driveway? You can't sing on the radio?
I'm driving. I'm trying to get
to
work right now.
God forbid you sing while you're driving. Like everybody since the dawn of the invention of the automobile. I can't sing. I'm driving.
My singing voice today.
All right, Mike.
You guys have a great day.
See you, buddy. I can't sing right now. I'm driving. There's a whole industry that's created so people can sing when they're driving. It's called the radio. Ooh. I love my Milwaukee Bucks. Got Bucks lust. Ooh. Dave is in Cudahy. Dave, good morning, Dave.
Oh. What a fantastic weekend. I've already been jamming to that Bucks Lust song about three times on my ride to work this morning. So I'm feeling it.
Interesting. I'd prefer you listen to me on your ride to work, but that's okay.
Hey, haven't you played it like three times?
No, Dave.
Okay, sorry. Two, whatever. Cut me some slack. I'm busy feeling euphoric after an amazing Bucks playoff series.
Yeah, I'm busy feeling joy for the first time in my life.
Well, you know, then it was brought down a little bit after I saw Budenholzer is probably going to keep his job. But, you know, that's a different story.
No, I'm still holding out hope that they fire him on stage after they win the finals.
That'd be hilarious. The real MVP.
Yeah.
But come on. I had been talking to some of my coworkers that night. And I said, right here is where Kevin Durant is going to hit that three-pointer and upset everyone, right? And he hit that two-point shot. Thank God his clown shoes feet were on the line. Oh, it almost made me shed a tear or two. And then Middleton coming in clutch this entire series. He's finally feeling like the Middleton that he should be from the regular season. Throughout the entirety of the playoffs. That's what we needed.
Yeah.
Ah, sorry. I have no real comment. I just want to say how freaking happy I am. Thank God.
I know. Dave. You had 36 hours to think of this call.
Well, I wasn't thinking so much. I had to wrestle on Sunday again. So I got hit in the head a couple times. Cut me some slack.
Oh, where'd you wrestle?
I was out in Indiana, in God knows where, for a little small town promotion.
Yeah?
Yep.
Did you win?
No.
You lost again?
Hey, well, look. It's progress, okay?
Yeah.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
That's right.
So, but I'll be heading back out there soon enough, and hopefully we can see a W. Yeah.
A W for you and a W for the Bucks, Dave.
All right. Sayonara. Have a great one.
Okay. All right. We'll talk later.
Bye.
Okay. See ya. Dave. Talking to Dave is like talking to my cousin. We haven't seen him in 10 years. Hey, what's up? Yeah. How's work? What do you do, by the way? Oh, I'm a doctor. I actually invented the vaccine. Oh, cool. What's that like? Yeah, no, it's fun. Nice. How are the kids? Ah, I don't have any. Okay. So you enjoying the coast? I live in Kansas. That's right. All right, Dave. We'll see you. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Drew Holiday struggled in this game for a long stretch. 2 of 17. And the Drew Bledsoe jokes were back in full force. But he fought through it and then gave the Bucks a monster three near the end of regulation. Which
I've been in his league long enough to know that sometimes you're going to hit him and sometimes you're not. Sometimes the game's not going to go your way. But you can't be timid, especially in a game seven where I'm given the opportunity to come out here and knock these shots down and take these shots. I feel like my teammates trusted me to take those shots and knock them down. So really just have to be confident in it and just know, man, they're going to fall. You keep on doing the right things when you play. They're going to end up falling.
Yeah, Drew Holiday, it was not good for him. And it was not good for Chris Middleton either. The two guys, like I mentioned, combined to start 6 of 32. But then in the fourth quarter, when they really needed their buckets, they got their buckets. And the more that they struggled, the more I think that we do give the accolades to Giannis, because this was a big-time game for Giannis, and he deserved it. Giannis was getting heckled a lot at the line by the Nets crowd, where they were showing the crowd. They showed, like, every Nets fan screaming, and congratulations that they can all count to 10. Giannis was 15 of 24. Ended up being 8 of 14 on the line. It seemed like the counting that the Nets fans did actually helped them, or helped Giannis. 40 points total, 13 boards, 15 to 24 shooting. Did knock down a couple of threes. Maybe took a little more than you would have wanted, but he did knock down a couple of threes. Actually, when compared to some of the other guys in the series, you kind of did want him to take the threes, at least when compared to some of the guys who are known for being better at threes. Joe Harris in this series was very bad. Joe Harris for the Nets led the NBA. He was a 48% three-point shooter in the regular season. He shot 24% in games 3 through 7. Drew Holiday in games 3 through 7 shot 24%. Giannis shot 26%. So of those three guys, if you needed a three, you would go to Giannis over Drew and over Joe Harris. Pretty wild. 414-799-1250. You can tweet us, Facebook, 1250 AM The Fan. Marcus is in Fall Creek, home of the Crickets.
You bet, dude.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, not much. I'm just calling in to say go, Bucks, go. And really excited for the series. Also, it feels like this is the battle of the also-rans. Because I feel like Wisconsin sports has had a lot of issues with getting over the hump, especially in the last, 11 years. And then Atlanta, who, think of their fan base. How many times did the Braves get there and also lose? You know, or the Hawks were, with Budenholzer, the number one seed and then lose. You know, I just feel like it's one of those, let's see who can get over the hump.
Well, this whole NBA playoffs that's left, you've got the Hawks that haven't won a title since 58. When they were in St. Louis, the Bucks in 71. In the West, it's the Suns and the Clippers. Neither team has ever won a title. So the whole NBA playoffs can be looked at like that. But, yeah, in terms of, recent heartbreak, too, I mean, when we think of Atlanta, what do we think of right away? We think of 28-3. They blew the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
The Braves have had, as you mentioned, their opportunities. The Atlanta Hawks, you can lump them in there, certainly with Coach Bud. So, somebody's curse is about to be broken, Marcus. I just hope it's ours.
I really want it to be ours. I just, man, this year has been kind of a crap show for Wisconsin sports. We need something to carry us through and then make everything better by the time August rolls around. So hopefully it is better when football starts. And, you know, I guess we'll see what it goes.
Good to chat again, Marcus. We'll talk to you.
Yep, thanks.
Marcus in Fall Creek, home of the Crickets. I got some nice Fall Creek Cricket swag from him. That was nice, the Fall Creek Crickets. You know, another thing that's funny about this whole Atlanta thing is there was a time in the history of the world where the city of Milwaukee had the Braves and the Hawks. These current teams. This Hawks team used to play in Milwaukee from 1951 to 1955. And at the same time, the Atlanta Braves were here, I think starting in 53, maybe. The Milwaukee Braves, the Boston Braves moved eventually to Milwaukee in 53. So Atlanta has taken our teams from us. And now we see one of them in the Atlanta Hawks coming up again on Wednesday night. They've got their curses they can talk about. I feel like we have ours. I still don't know why Wisconsin sports are as cursed as they are, but it does feel like they are. And this Game 7, it did feel like we were talking about the curse a lot. And what would be – well, the thing about the Wisconsin sports curse is now that we all are thinking that it could be over, that's what the curse wants us to think. It's we're going to be miserable after this series according to what the curse wants. But it just felt different. It was a Game 7. It was on the road. You had kind of given it away, but they fought back. I think a lot of us in the moment, even if we expected to win, we still expected to lose. And just to win one game like that, whether it breaks this curse or not, just to win that game, because we don't know how this is going to play out. We don't know what's going to happen. But for that night, I think we got to feel a sense of joy and fun and supreme virtuosity that we haven't felt in a while. So I don't know if the curse is broken, but right now where I sit today, I will take Saturday night 1,000 times out of 1,000.
Yeah, and it got really nervy there at the end where you got Lopez forgetting things. You got, for all intents and purposes, the Bucks trying to lose it somehow. They're up by two. They should have it in hand. KD's barely on the line. You get to overtime, and they can't grab a rebound. They're getting outworked, and then they still found a way to win it, so you've got to feel so good about that because, you know, if this curse that I guess I'm new to is truly alive and well, then you'd think they'd lose that game, right? Because they'd find a way, even somehow the refs making that call with 0.3 seconds left, somehow they get a shot at the buzzer to send it to another overtime. It just seemed like the Bucks had some chances there at the end to kind of give it away, but they were able to overcome those and find a way to win that game. And that's got to be encouraging because they're going to run into some tough stretches coming up in the next two series, hopefully. And hopefully they'll be able to come through those ones as well.
Oh, we got to talk about the refs at some point, especially what was going on early in this game. You mentioned Brook Lopez. There's 8 seconds left. Bucks inbounding it, but there's only about 2.3 on the shot clock. Brook Lopez had no idea.
Honestly, I made a mistake. You know, I wasn't aware. I knew there was 8 seconds on the game clock. I had no idea there was still a shot clock, you know, and I made that mistake. It's what it was, you know, and so after that happened, you know, I just took it upon myself. And I told my teammates, you know, I made a mistake, but let's go get this. You know, I'm going to fix this. We're going to fix this, you know. And so it happened, but, you know, it was great to see how resilient we were.
That's classic Pitbull. You turn a negative into a positive. Classic Pitbull, one of the musical geniuses of our time. Steve's on the northwest side. Steve, 414-799-1250. What's up?
Barty, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I am doing good today only.
Your twin pulled it off. That is so awesome.
How about that? Mike Budenholzer, who have you ever seen me and Bud in the same spot at the same time? No.
No. Yeah. Well, I'm so happy you got me on. I really appreciate it. This is my first time calling in, and I love your show, Barty.
Oh, Steve, let me celebrate you quick.
It feels like the first time. Yeah.
Steve, Chuck Freeman used to say, don't be a foreigner to the show. So welcome to the proceedings.
I wanted that, and I got it. The Bucks were – I'm not like a all-season watcher of basketball. It's just not something I do, but I watch a series, and man, oh, man, it was so great. It was so great. It's so exciting, ups and downs. And listening to you the next morning part was awesome, especially the song. It was – it helped make some of the bad times a little better, but I can't – Game 7 was incredible. It was freaking incredible. And I loved it. You just played that clip that kind of – that was one question. I was like, what happened with Focus on that? And that just answered it. And whenever that happened, I was like, my heart was in my throat, because I'm like, that is the dumbest thing. And I got haunted by Barkley's comments there, and it could have really hurt us.
Oh, yeah, we could be talking about that Brook Lopez pass like we talk about Brandon Bostic, like we talk about Trent Grisham missing a catch. But sure. Luckily, it didn't, kill us.
For sure.
But that was a very bad decision that ended up not hurting us, thank goodness.
Thank God. We needed that. And one more thing, really quick. Another thing, just for watching the series, I really got to give it up to Kevin Durant, man. That guy is freaking awesome. Now that we've won the series, he seemed to be on another plane than everybody else, and I do have respect for that man. Now, he was really humble in the post game and gave it up to the Bucks. And boy, oh boy, is that guy, he is good. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Steve, thank you. Don't be a foreigner.
Thank you, Bert.
It feels like the first time. It feels like the very first time. It feels like the first time. It feels like the very first time.
Steve mentioned Kevin Durant afterwards. The comment I think that's out there is my big ass toe is on the line, and what a shame, and stuff like that. But as soon as he started talking in the press conference, they asked him about the injuries and the fatigue, and he said, no, this is not about us. This is about Milwaukee.
You got to give credit to the Milwaukee Bucks. They're a great, great team. We got a good chance to win a championship. The story should be about them and how well they played this series. How well they play all year. We got good looks there over time. We just didn't knock them down. But respect to the Milwaukee Bucks and how they prepare, how they challenged us all series and made adjustments all series. We got nothing but respect for the ball club.
Kevin Durant might have a complicated legacy. He was with Oklahoma City for the longest time and didn't work out there. So he joined the Warriors, the team that beat Oklahoma City when they were very close to another finals appearance. And then the Warriors won a couple of times, and then he gets hurt, and so he goes to rehab with the Nets, and there's a lot of people that call him a snake or a ring chaser or what have you. But Kevin Durant, when you watch him, and he's got his, he likes to engage on Twitter. Used to be heavily burner accounts. Now he just goes at it as himself, Instagram as well. So he, there's a lot of, I think, he's complicated fella. But KD, when you watch him, dude, he's the best basketball player on the planet.
Absolutely. And he's got to be the most unique scorer of all time. He's a legit 7 feet tall, and yet he can shoot the mid-range jumper as good as anybody in the history of the NBA. He's got handles to get to the rim. He just shoots over guys like P.J. Tucker stuck on him, and P.J. Tucker's 6'4", 6'5". Kevin Durant doesn't care. He just drives to the baseline, pulls up, shoots right over him. And I don't know how you guard Kevin Durant. It's incredible watching him. It was awesome to watch him this series, but I'm glad we're not watching him anymore.
Well, man, and again, if his toe was not on the line, the Nets win.
Yeah.
The Nets win, and the Bucks are done at the hands of Kevin Durant, and this whole thing is over. And credit to P.J. Tucker on the defense there, because that was P.J.'s goal. He said, all I wanted to do was, I knew he'd get a shot off. I just didn't want it to be a three. And it was as close as could be as possible. But this story could have been written a lot differently. We could still be talking about the Nets. Bud would probably be fired already. So it's like take the good with the bad. KD, more on KD.
I thought it was a Tracy, but I was my big ass foot was a step on the line. I was just seeing a little screenshot how close I was to ending the season off that shot, but it wasn't in God's plan. Hey, we move on. So it was a solid shot, but I hit way bigger shots than that.
So man, could have all come crashing down there, but the Bucks, hey, that's what you need sometimes. It's a battle of attrition. It's skill, it's talent, it's strategery, and it's a little bit of luck. And the Bucks got a mix of it all on Saturday night. And now the Atlanta Hawks come to town. 414-799-1250. We're doing it all. Just where you feel today as a Bucks fan. That Game 7 victory. How we feel about Atlanta. We'll hear from how they feel about us coming up here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.